issues, it helps. So I'm just curious, who here is also a one-person shop? Anybody? Okay, well, hopefully this will be a little bit of a help to you. So I'm going to tell you just a little bit about what we do in Tustin, and then just to get started to put you in perspective a little bit, as I was sitting here, I just thought I'd write down some of the projects that are going on in Tustin that I'm managing. So we have our new reservoir that we're building. We have a major regional route, Tustin Ranch Road, that's being built. We have a marine base that's being developed. We have a pipeline that's being installed across the south part of our town. We have various paving projects going on at any time. We have two really public lawsuits that are going on. I have 5 council members that I do things for. And then when I'm done with that, I do PR for the city. So when a project comes across my desk, I consider all the neat things that I can do for it, but in reality, I don't get to because I get pulled into different directions. So here are some of the things that I do do. Okay, so when I get a new project, there's a few questions that I consider. Who is my constituency that I'm going to be outreaching to? And then really what's key for me is that I don't use all the same steps and all the same venues and all the same programs for every project. And then again, since it's just me, what I consider most is how little I can do and still communicate to the people of Tustin. And then I always think, does my constituency care? And then why? Those are things that help me develop, you know, how much I'm going to be interacting with the public. And then, who am I doing the program for? If I'm doing the program for a neighborhood, I think in certain aspects, if I'm doing it for council because they have some ideas, then I think about some other things. So thinking about, you know, who the actual program is being done for can help you decide, you know, how many man and woman hours that you want to dedicate. Here are a few projects. Big projects in Tustin that I'm going to talk a little bit about. First, we have Rawlings Reservoir. We're actually replacing a very old 4-million-gallon reservoir with 2 3-million-gallon reservoirs, and we're halfway through that project right now, and there's Kunal. He's my favorite engineer who I work with all the time, and he's standing at the base. Pasadena Avenue Water Well is a new well that we built in Tustin a couple of years ago. It's our largest capacity well now. And then here's Tustin Ranch Road. It's going to finish Tustin Ranch Road from Walnut to Warner, which means you'll be able to go all the way from Tustin Ranch all the way down to Irvine continuously, and this runs through the marine base that's currently being developed. First of all, I'm sure you guys all do it. Branding your projects is important. It makes all of your messages recognizable before anybody reads, opens, or watches anything that you create. OCTA does a great job of branding their projects. They have great graphics design people. I'm not a graphics design person, but I still brand mine. That way, you know, my constituency knows when something, you know, they get a letter, they see a flyer, whatever, they know what it's about. Some of the things that everyone's doing. First of all, news releases and media outreach. Since we can't really rely on the media anymore, unless it's Carmageddon, you have to have other tricks in your bag. However, a well-placed scan in the Orange County Register is very helpful. I like to offer media tours of all of our projects. Usually the only people who show up are our blogger in town and our Tustin news reporter, but that's good because they're going to reach my constituency. A lot of times our local reporter will do a photo album and she'll put it on the internet, and then I can link to that in different venues, and that helps the people understand what's going on as well. And then homeowner letters, of course, we all do those, notifying people about projects within a certain feet, you know, from their house. And that's a good opportunity, you know, work with the planning department to put in a couple paragraphs or a flyer or something like that that introduces project. And then, of course, you've got your own local agency's website if people are looking at it. So you also have to have more bags or more tricks in your bag than just that. Open houses. I really like the OCTA style of doing open houses. That's where you come to the venue and you tour the boards. It kind of ensures that you don't have an angry few or an angry mob, you know, taking over the open house, and it really helps people have individual attention so that they can, you know, have their needs met. And almost everybody's doing social media. My favorite two are Facebook and Twitter. I think YouTube is super neato, but I'm curious if this is true with you guys too. I'll spend a lot of time, you know, producing the videos and putting them up on our channel and getting them out, you know, the various ways. But I don't find that I get as many people looking at the videos as I do, you know, reading Facebook and Twitter. Do you guys find that as well?
I think it needs to be integrated, you know. So you do a YouTube video, but you post it on Facebook, and then you also tweet it out and put it on the blog.
However, what I'm saying is, people read the tweets and Facebook posts more than they take the time to watch. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I need to get a new star for my videos.
The thing
that I really like about social media is that it's free, first of all, and then I can control the message, and then I meet my constituency where they want to be. And then in Tustin, when I Facebook and Twitter something, I potentially reach 6,000 tweeters and Facebook people and fans and that kind of thing. So that works well for me. And then some of my favorite ways of reaching out, I do a lot of face-to-face in Tustin just because it's a small town and people kind of expect it. Here's Kunal again and me. We're about to go out and do a walk around the Pasadena Avenue Waterwell neighborhood. This was actually a well that was put right into a really small area of our historic area, so it was kind of controversial. So Kunal and I walked the neighborhood at least once a week for a whole year. We really got to know the neighbors. We experienced all kinds of things, a drug deal, slam doors, all kinds of things. It was actually really pretty interesting. But we would walk every week and we would inform them of drilling, new construction, dirt coming in, dirt going out, different hours that were going to be happening. We actually got to the point where we were going to be doing drilling all night for a week. And for the construction schedule, that would have been Christmas week. So we actually were able to change it and communicate with them, and so that took some of the burden off of their anger. But really, the thing, I think the beauty of walking face-to-face and visiting with these people every week is that it kept the angry neighbors away from the media and away from our council. And I don't really mean this when I say it, but I do. I'd rather have someone yell at me than my council. You guys all understand that. Another of my favorites is to get the public involved with a committee. For example, the Rawlings Reservoir that we're building right now is actually outside of our city limits, but within our water district area. So a lot of and it's also very affluent area, and so the people there, you know, feel like they need to have their needs met and their voices heard and that kind of thing. So what we did is we created a committee that got to choose the landscaping and some of the way the outside of the reservoir is presented. And we did that, and then actually the reservoir was delayed for about a year. And when we started up again, and I think it's largely due to the committee, everyone was calmed down. The committee members, you know, communicated with their neighbors, and we were able to start the project with only two inquiries from the public, and they were both positive. So that was a real success from that committee. When you do a committee, though, I do have one thing that you really have to keep in mind is that you don't let the committee feel like they have more power than they have. So you have to really clearly define, you know, what they're doing, what their authority is, and, you know, how much power.